हे वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम, वी आर स्टार्टिंग अ न्यू चैप्टर, चैप्टर 12. The chapter is entitled The Perfect Society, The Four Spiritual Classes. Previous chapter was The Four Social Classes, and now is The Four Spiritual Classes. So in the word Varna Ashrama, we finished Varnas, now we're going to talk about the Ashrams. So the first verse does not have a purport. So generally we don't take verses that don't have purports. We recite the ones that have a purport and then we do the ones that we don't. But this one is one of the most famous ones that Prabhupada quoted many, many times. And when it came to discussing Brahmacharya life, Prabhupada quoted this verse more than the other verses that are also describing Brahmacharya life. So thought it would be proper to at least recite this and then discuss the one with the purport. That is text number 6. So we'll recite the verse and then I'll read the summary of the chapter. So text number 1, chapter 12. Shri Narada Uvacha Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanto Guru Hitam आचरण दासवन्नीचो गुरौ सुदृढ़ सौहृदः श्री नारद उवाच ब्रह्मचारी गुरुकुले वसन्दान्तो गुरोर्हितम् आचरण दासवन्नीचो गुरौ सुदृढ़ सौहृदः ब्रह्मचारी गुरुकुले वसन्दान्तो गुरोर्हितम् आचरण दासवन्नीचो गुरौ सुदृढ़ सौहृदः. ब्रह्मचारी गुरुकुले वसन्दान्तो गुरोर्हितम् आचरण दासवन्नीचो गुरौ सुदृढ़ सौहृदः. आचरण दासवन्नीचो गुरौ सुदृढ़ सौहृदः. श्रीनारद उवाच ब्रह्मचारी गुरुकुले वसन्दान्तो गुरोर्हितम् आचरण दासवन्नीचो गुरौ सुदृढ़ सौहृदः. मनोज श्री नारद उवाच ब्रह्मचारी गुरुकुले वसन्दान्तो गुरोर्हितम् आचरण दासवन्नीचो गुरौ सुदृढ़ सौहृदः. यू आर ट्राइंग फ्यू टाइम्स, सो गो अहेड. Okay. Shri Narada Uvacha. Shri Narada Muni said, Brahmachari, a Brahmachari, a student living at the residence of the Guru. Gurukule, of at the residence of the Guru. Vasan, by living. Dantah, continuously practicing control of the senses. Guru Hitam, only for the benefit of the Guru, not for one's personal benefit. Acharan, practicing. Dasavat, very humbly, like a slave. Nichaha, submissive, obedient. Gurau, unto the spiritual master. Sudhruda, firmly. Sauhrudaha, in friendship or goodwill. Translation. Narada Muni said, a student should practice completely controlling his senses. He should be submissive and should have an attitude of firm friendship for the spiritual master. With a great vow, the brahmachari should live at the Guru Kula only for the benefit of the Guru. So what I'm going to do is read the summary of the chapter so we have an idea of what's coming up. And it gives context to all the verses. Sometimes when we go verse by verse, we appreciate each verse, but we sort of lose the big picture. So here's the big picture. This chapter particularly describes the brahmachari and the person in the vanaprastha stage. And it also gives a general description of the four ashramas: brahmacharya, gruhastha, vanaprastha and sannyasa. In the previous chapter, the great saint Narada Muni has described the Varna institution of society, and now in this chapter, he will describe the stages of spiritual advancement in the four ashrams, which are known as brahmacharya, gruhastha, vanaprastha and sannyasa. A brahmachari should live under the care of the true spiritual master, giving him sincere respect and obeisances, acting as his menial servant and always carrying out his order. The brahmachari should engage himself in spiritual activities and study the Vedic literature under the direction of the spiritual master. According to the brahmacharya system, he should dress with a belt, deer skin and matted hair, and should bear a danda, water pot and sacred thread. He should collect alms daily in the morning and in the evening. Whatever alms he has collected, he should offer to the spiritual master. A brahmachari should accept prasad upon the order of the spiritual master. And if the spiritual master sometimes forgets to order the disciple to eat, the disciple should not take prasad on his own initiative. Rather, he should fast. A brahmachari should be trained to be satisfied with eating what is absolutely necessary. He should be very expert in executing responsibilities. He should be faithful and he should control his senses and try to avoid the association of women as far as possible. A brahmachari should very strictly abstain from living with women and should not meet with grahasthas and those addicted to women. Nor should a brahmachari speak in a lonely place with a woman. After completing one's education as a brahmachari in this way, one should give dakshina, an offering of gratitude, to one's guru. And then one may leave for home and accept the next ashram, the grahastha ashram. Or else one may continue in the brahmachari ashram without adulteration. The duties of the grahastha ashram and brahmachari ashram, as well as the duties for sannyasis, are prescribed in the shastras. A grihastha is not meant to enjoy sex life without restriction. Indeed, the whole purpose of Vedic life is to become free from sexual indulgence. All the ashrams are recognized for spiritual progress. And therefore, although the grahastha ashram gives a kind of license for sex life, for a certain time, it does not allow unrestricted sex life. Therefore, in grahastha life also, there is no illicit sex. A grahastha should not accept a woman for sexual enjoyment. Wasting semen is also illicit sex. After the Grihastha ashram is another ashram known as Vanaprastha, which is midway between Grihastha and Sannyas. A person in the Vanaprastha order is restricted in eating food grains and forbidden to eat fruits that have not ripened on the tree. Nor should he cook food with fire, although he is allowed to eat charu, grains that have been offered in a sacrificial fire. He may also eat fruits and grains that have grown naturally. Living in a thatched cottage, the Vanaprastha should endure all kinds of heat and cold. He should not cut his nails or hair, and he should give up cleaning his body and teeth. Okay, sounds like college life. He should wear tree bark, accept a danda, and practice life in the forest, taking a vow to live there for 12 years, 8 years, 4 years, 2 years, or at least 1 year. At last, when because of old age he can no longer perform the activities of a Vanaprastha, he should gradually stop everything and in this way give up his body. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Before we read, we've read the summary of what brahmachari life looks like. So it is but natural to feel a severe sense of gratitude to Srila Prabhupada for having come to the West and picking up persons that have no sense of what this means, but making them real amazing brahmacharis. This is very taking ancient principles and applying them in the most modern context, but getting similar result as what was in the past. This is a stroke of genius. And so we're very fortunate to be under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, because he's taught us how, even in the modern context, because we can't wear a deer skin, carry a danda and a water pot, and you know, at the best we can carry a plastic water bottle, that's as close as we can get to carrying a water pot. But still bringing us bringing those wonderful young men and women very close to the same result, it was very fascinating. So I'll read the first 6 verses and then we'll go through some details. Verse number 2. Sayam Pratar Upasita Gurav Agni Arkasurottaman Sandhe Ubechai Yatavag Japan Brahmasamahitah. At both junctions of day and night, namely in the early morning and in the evening, he should be fully absorbed in thoughts of the spiritual master, fire, the sun god, and Lord Vishnu. And by chanting the Gayatri mantra, he should worship them. Chandamsi adhiyita gurur ahutascheta suyantritah upakrame avasanecha charano shirasa namet. Being called by the spiritual master, the student should study the Vedic mantras regularly. Every day, before beginning his studies and at the end of his studies, the disciple should respectfully offer obeisances unto the spiritual master. మేఖలాజినవాసాంసి జటాదండకమండలూన్ బిభ్రాదుపవితం చ ధర్మపాణిర్యథోదితం. Carrying pure kusha grass in his hand, the brahmachari should dress regularly with a belt of straw and with deerskin garments. He should wear matted hair, carry a rod and water pot, and be decorated with a sacred thread as recommended in the shastras. Text 5. Sayam pratascharet bhiksham gurave tannivedayet munjita yad anujnato na ched upavaset kvachit. The brahmachari should go out morning and evening to collect alms, and he should offer all that he collects to the spiritual master. He should eat only if ordered to take food by the spiritual master. Otherwise, if the spiritual master does not give this order, he may sometimes have to fast. Text 6. Sushilo mita bhukdaksha shraddha dhano jitendriyah yavad artham vyavaharit strishu stri nirjiteshu cha. A brahmachari should be quite well behaved and gentle and should not eat or collect more than necessary. He must always be active and expert, fully believing in the instructions of the spiritual master and the shastra. Fully controlling his senses, he should associate only as much as necessary with women or those controlled by women. Purport. A brahmachari should be very careful not to mix with women or with men addicted to women. Although when he goes out to beg alms, it is necessary to talk with women and with men very much attached to women. This association should be very short, and he should talk with them only about begging alms and not more. A brahmachari should be very careful in associating with women who are with men who are attached to women. The word brahmachari, so I'm going to go word by word for this one. Brahmachari means one who chara, moves on spiritual principles. Brahmachara. So brahmachari is one who lives his life, or by Prabhupada's grace, her life, according to the principles of spiritual life. Very often, brahmachari is translated as celibate, celibate person, because the foundation of spiritual life is celibacy. Once His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj was asked, "Are you guys against sex?" And Jayadvaita Maharaj says, this is in New York Rath Yatra. He said, "Oh no, we are not against sex. Actually, we have no problem with sex. But we have an issue about how it is used in life." And he was speaking about how one lives one's life and why sex, as it is talked about, all spiritual traditions talk about celibacy as an important factor. And he explained it this way. The very first lesson of Bhagavad Gita is difference between body and soul. You are not this body. Now, that's the foundation of spiritual life. You are not this body. And sex life is about you are this body. The whole activity of sex is absorption in the body of oneself and in the body of the other person. Right? how their form is, the touch is, what they say to each other, the act of it, it's all body. It covers completely any conception of the presence of soul. And spiritual life is all about you're not this body. So these two go completely opposite to each other. So that's the reason all spiritual traditions, regardless of religion, whether it is so-called Hinduism, Hare Krishna, Christianity, Islam, whatever it is, celibacy is talked about. So brahmachara means to move on spiritual principles. The foundation is celibacy. So Narada Muni says, brahmachari gurukule vasan. Gurukula means the place where the guru lives. And vasan, just to live there. Modern school is where the parents leave the child in the morning and they collect their child in the afternoon. And the teacher's responsibility is to impart a particular lesson, and then that's about it. The responsibility of disciplining the child in a certain sense, to give cultural values, rests on the parents. But in the previous generations, the teacher took all that responsibility. So the child lived with the teacher. And the reason is to observe the child or children outside of their classroom, to see how they behave, to see what their natures are. And they would spend from age 5 to 25 with the guru. So 20 years when you live with someone, you have a good sense of their nature. Of course, most of the children who went to the Gurukula, they were born with proper samskaras, so that individual nature would be quite distinct. In the previous chapter, Prabhupada in one of the purports wrote that because the mixing is so prolific, the individual nature is not clear. So you find some Brahmanical qualities mixed with Kshatriya qualities, mixed with Vaishya qualities, thoroughly mixed with Shudra qualities, mixed with feminine qualities. Therefore, there are many men who are like women, who are many women who are like men. There are many Brahmins who are like Shudras, there are Shudras who are like Brahmins. It is such a hodgepodge because of lack of proper Garbhadhan samskaras. So you can live with a person for 40 years until figure out what is their nature. I'm not too sure what they are all about. But in the previous time, it was very, very clear. So they would live with the teacher. And the teacher, or here Gurukula, that means both husband and wife actually, they would train these young boys. They would closely observe how they lived. And there was a known feature of living with the guru. It says dantaha. Danta means with senses controlled, disciplined. Why were children disciplined? Of course, it's not like beaten and all that. Even now we are disciplining children in life. The reason is, once the children are disciplined in their young age, if you're strict in the young age, then you can leave them free when they're grown-ups. And your understanding and expectation is that the rest of their lives, they will live disciplined. If they're not disciplined when they're young, it's very difficult to discipline when they're older. The famous story Prabhupada narrates is that a young man, I think he had committed murder or something, and he was in jail. Life imprisonment, and the next day I think he was going to be hanged. So they asked him, do you have any last wishes? He said, yes, can I meet my mother? So the mother was called. And when she came to the prison to meet him, He told her, I want to say something in your ear. So when she gave her ear, this young man bit off his mother's ear. So she was writhing in pain. Why would you do something like that? And he said, if you had disciplined me when I was young, I would not be in this situation today. So in Sanskrit, according to Chanakya Pandita, I think, there is a famous axiom. Ladane bahavo dosha, palane bahavo guna. Ladana means to pamper. So if you pamper a child too much, ladane bahavo dosha, it brings out a lot of bad qualities. Palane, if you care for them nicely, in such a way that they're disciplined nicely, disciplined with love, of course, palane bahavo guna, that they will come up with great qualities. Everything in life, we see, has to be disciplined. Without discipline, nothing looks nice. For example, many of us have visited India or have seen pictures of traffic in India. To get a mile away in a car takes about 20 minutes. Why? Because anyone can drive any way they like without any discipline. Chandramouli Maharaj said that in India, in America you have a booklet for traffic laws, like Illinois Road Drivers Law. It's a booklet, correct? Rules of the road. Chandramouli Maharaj said that in India, you don't need a booklet. There's only one rule. Do you know what that rule is? For driving? No. The rule in India for driving is, just don't hit anyone. It doesn't matter how you drive, where you drive. The only rule is don't hit anyone. That's it. So people drive in all sorts of ways, and you can't get through life without discipline. You see, everyone stops at the stop sign. Well, not in the city of Chicago. But supposedly, you know, you stop at the stop sign, you stop at the red light, you wait, you yield for others, etc., etc. Discipline brings orderliness and happiness and smooth flow of life. In India, standing in line is not a concept. Everyone crowds around one place and takes forever, especially if you buy a movie ticket, 20 hands in the same place, or a railway ticket. Standing in line is just not something, is a start for some reason, just because population is too much. Anyway, the idea is when you're disciplined young, you'll grow. So I don't mean to compare brahmacharis with dogs or human beings with dogs, but you see dogs or horses, every human being. Dogs are disciplined, made to sit, made to stand, say it that way, whatever the master whistles, whoop, you got to sit, whoop, you got to stand, whoop, you got to wag your tail, whatever you have to do. And during the training, the dog's on a very short leash. Very short leash. One mistake and it'll yank the leash, right? And once the dog is trained, there is no leash. Because the master knows, boop, it'll stand. Because once he's disciplined, he's trained, more freedom. While training, no freedom. Very limited. He'll give a little treat or whack. But that's part of training. Poetically speaking, if you have a big block of marble, right? That marble has no value unless someone chisels it nicely and makes a wonderful statue out of it. In Greece, you have all these statues of person standing there, and everyone looks, wow, takes a picture of it. It was a block of marble. But the master had to chisel it with a hammer and a chisel to make something beautiful out of it. Similarly, the uncultured human being is a block of marble would be a great honor, as black sandstone or some stone. But it's the spiritual master who has to take the hammer and chisel and make something wonderful out of it. So hammering requires, you know, you got to be disciplined. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. But the result is something beautiful. So that's the principle of living with the Guru, Dantaha, sense control. And then it says, Gurur Hitam. Why does the Brahmachari live in the house of the Guru? For the Guru's benefit. For the Guru's benefit, not for one's personal benefit. Personal benefit is, the Guru Patni will cook, I will eat nicely, I will sleep nicely. It's not like that. It is for the Guru's benefit. He's a servant of the Guru. So he says, Gurur Hitam. That means everything is done with the consideration that this belongs to the Guru and I have to offer it to the Guru. I don't keep anything. And he says, Acharan Dasavat. Dasavan means a servant. The Brahmacharya is very clear. I am a servant of the spiritual master. The spiritual master says, stand, I stand. He says, sit, I sit. He says, do this, I do that. He says, now you stop this and you do that, I do that thing. And he says, you stop there, you start this one, I start this one. Whatever he says, I do. Because that brings a sense of obedience, Prabhupada writes. Dasan is obedience. Dasavat, very humble, like a slave. Dasavat means I give up my individual, I submit my individual will to the spiritual master's will. So these are principles. In the modern context, we can't do anything like this. But it is to appreciate what in spirit it means. This is the substance. The form can change according to cultural and time-based situations or circumstances. And he says nature. Nature is submissive or obedient. We say menial. We use the word menial. Menial servant of the Guru. So menial servant, the word menial has a connotation. Wiping the floor, washing the cloth, cleaning the pots, sweeping and brooming things, etc. And it doesn't matter how intelligent the student might be, they all have to do this. So there are some wonderful stories from Mahabharata. I wish Rafiq were here. He would be ecstatic about Mahabharata stories. And Mahabharata is a common story. I forget a few details, but let's see. There were two disciples in the house of a guru. And they were close to graduation. It's called Snataka. So once, when the guru was sitting with his disciples, there was a message. Oh, the what's that called in the farm? You have these banks on the sides. The water retained is what is retained in the farm on the plot of land. It's called something. No, it's the mound of mud that holds the water in. Embankment, something it's called. Anyway. So what they did in rice paddy fields is you have a plot of land and all sides is a little mound of earth that holds the water in, because paddy has to have a lot of water in it. If for some reason if that water leaks out, then rice cannot grow. So the guru who had a farm little field was sitting with his disciples and the message came that the embankment has broken. So the guru looked at one of his disciples and said, take care of it. So the disciple got up, ran. And he didn't come back. Hours later, he didn't come back. So it was the end of the day and the guru, out of concern, took all his disciples to search for this one. What happened? You know, sometimes we find that even in modern context, you tell the student, go take care of this, and the student doesn't come back because he's watching a movie and having a good time. This is different. So when they found the student, he was lying down in the field like this, as the embankment, holding the water back. So the guru asked him, why? He said, I tried many times, the water flow was strong and the mud couldn't hold anymore, and I understood the water needs to stay in the field, so he lay down like this the whole day, no eating, nothing, uncomfortably laying down like that, holding the water back. So the guru was very, very pleased with him, and he blessed him that whatever Veda mantras I've taught you, you will never forget in your life. You will never forget. That's the greatest blessing to get. You will never forget a lesson that I've taught. So there was another friend. To him, the guru has said, you should go every day and milk the cows. Oh, you should beg every day, like it said here. So the disciple went and he was taught, you should, everything that you beg and receive must be given to the guru. That's the principle. Yes. So he would beg vegetables and fruits and rice and all that. And he would give. And the guru saw that even with all these austerities, the disciple was nice and plump. Because with this austerity, you become thin, right? He was plump. So the guru knew, this guy is eating somewhere. So he asked him, how is it that with so much austerity you're nice and plump? So he said, oh, whatever fruits and vegetables come, I give practically everything. I just keep a few fruits with me to eat. Guru said, you cannot eat like that. Because here Prabhupada's verse says, if the guru invites for lunch, he eats. If he forgets, then he fasts. They said, you cannot eat like that. Yes, Guru. Then he saw that he was bringing everything, and still he was nice, strong. So the Guru asked him, what is going on? Are you giving all the vegetables and rice? And yes, Guru Maharaj, everything I'm giving. How are you so strong like this? Oh, when they're milking the cow, I take a little handful of milk. I'm surviving on a handful of milk. Guru said, you cannot be like that. You have to fast if you're not asked to eat. Yes, Guru Maharaj. So he stopped drinking that milk also. Some more time passed by. Still he was bringing everything for the Guru, and still the fellow was nice and plump. So the Guru said, what is going on? How are you surviving? What are you eating? Are you giving all the milk? Yes, I'm giving all the milk. Are you giving all the vegetables? Yes. Are you giving all the rice? Yes. All the money? Yes. How are you so nice and strong? Oh, when they're milking the cow, or when the calf is drinking the milk from the cow, there is a little bit of froth. So I'm licking that froth. The Guru said, you cannot. That also you're not allowed to take without the permission of the spiritual master. Yes, Guru then. And then he started realizing that this disciple was becoming disciplined. These persons come back later in Mahabharata. They're important characters. I forget their names. But this is how they were taught. You cannot keep anything for yourself. Of course, modern context is totally, adulterated or different, because we don't have the same model. We don't have gurus living in an ashram and so. But this is the principles in Mahabharata. The spirit must be there. The practice may look very different. And then he says, Guru Surdrudha Sauhrada. Surdrudha means very strong. Sauhrada, friendship towards the guru. So as long as the guru is patting the disciple on the back, yes, yes, guru is my best friend. And the day he chastises, I don't like this guy anymore. Not that kind of friendship. Sudruda. Whether he is chastised, or whether he is appreciated and glorified, or whether he is neglected, it doesn't matter. Guru is my best friend. That's the mentality. He says, from morning and night, he should be fully absorbed in the thoughts of the spiritual master. That's applicable. In the thoughts of the guru. Fire. So for a brahmachari, thoughts and fire is his service. Now in modern context, we don't light fire morning and evening as part of yajna. But our fire that we have to meditate on is our service. So the thoughts are filled with the thoughts of the guru, of one's service, the Gayatri Mantra and Lord Vishnu. So then there's no place for other thoughts. That's the point. And the discipline is, if the spiritual master calls, every day he will call the disciple to study the Vedas. And at the beginning and at the end, he should offer obeisances to the guru. Without obeisances, mercy doesn't descend. If one stands equal to the guru, then mercy doesn't flow from one equal level to another equal. It has to only flow from higher level to lower level. Of course, paying obeisances is only in form and the substance can be lost. But we're talking about the substance here. That of humility. In the beginning of the lesson, he offers obeisances to the teacher to express his willingness to learn. And at the end of the lesson, he offers his obeisances as a gratitude for what he has learned. He says, next verse, carrying kushagras in hand, the brahmachari should dress regularly with a belt of straw and with deerskin garments. He should wear matted hair. Matted hair. Carry a rod and a water pot. And be decorated with sacred thread. So you have danda, water pot, kushagras, straw belt, deer skin, matted hair. Not attractive to the girls. But it's all nicely done. No water pot. Hands are free for mischief. Hands are full. That's why it's given that the hands are busy. They're always holding on to something. So they can't drop it. When they drop something to, let's say, hold on to a girl, then they're very clear, I am leaving something. And they're supposed to remind one of the guru. This way they're always aware. It's a sense of reminder for the student. And there are other Vedic meanings for which I'm not fully aware of. The belt of straw, it helps with celibacy. Deer skin, so that they can sit peacefully and meditate. Matted hair, the idea is not so much into makeup and good looks and all of that stuff. Prabhupada also found lot of his disciples, they were with matted hair like this. The hippie generation, they had hair that was unkempt, the hair that was just, and their lifestyle was also completely unkempt. We found them there. And then he said, the brahmachari should go out morning and evening to collect alms, and he should offer all that he collects to the spiritual master. So the reason this comes here, he should eat only if ordered, otherwise he may sometimes have to fast. He has to collect food, but he cannot eat it if he's not invited. That's difficult, especially when they're all children. Now, it's not that the guru would say don't eat to any one of them. The point was, if for some reason they were not invited, please come and eat, then they would not eat. Because part of disciplining. And then he gives behaviors. Sushila. Sushila. Shilana means behavior. So Sushila means gentle in behavior, well behaved. Sushila mitabhuk. Mitabhuk eating less, eating only exactly what he needs. Mitabhuk, daksha, expert. Shraddhadhano. Prabhupada Shraddhadhano, possessing full faith in the instructions of Shastra and the spiritual master. Jitendriya, full control over the senses. Yavadartham, only as much as necessary he gets. And he says, Strishu, Stri Nirjiteshu, Cha. So interactions with women should be only about the begging that he is doing. Bhavati, Bhiksham, Dehi. This is what the beggars, the brahmacharis would do. Every day morning and evening when they're begging bowl, walk up to a door, knock on the door and say, Mata, Bhavati, Bhiksham, Dehi. The mother, please give me some alms. And she would give, and she would not send her young daughter to give the vegetables and the fruits. She would personally give, and only conversation would be, are you happy? Okay, and I bless you that you're successful in your study. And that's it, there's no other conversation. Oh, nice sari, mata, nice house. Who are all in the house? Is the family all right? What's cooking tonight? No unnecessary conversations. It was very strict. Mata Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi. How is the study going? Very good. Now leave. No sitting there. Because it distracts. Remember, the idea was that in the mind, the thoughts are always about the spiritual master, one's service, Gayatri Mantra and Vishnu. Anything else displaces those thoughts. Now one might say, why are they not strong enough to, they should be able to control it. So the principle is the material energy, especially with children who are being disciplined, or young persons who are being disciplined, the material energy is very forceful. And to cultivate something against the current of material energy requires not just practice but support. So that support was given by the rest of the society. If they were not supportive, that would be very difficult. But once they graduate and they become very strong, then it's no problem. So we hear the story of Sanatan Goswami. Last night, Naveen Krishna and I were talking. Sanatan Goswami, when he used to walk around Vrindavan, Govardhan area, of course, he was always chanting his rounds, but when he would meet others, he would ask them, how is your farm? How much yield did you get this year? He would ask someone else, how is your daughter? How are the grandchildren doing? And if there is family dispute, then they would come to Sanatan Goswami for arbitration. And he would talk to them about, they're fighting, husband and wife are fighting, or the brothers are fighting, or families are fighting. He would arbitrate all that. And it was not like Sanatan Goswami's mind would get disturbed, or maybe we shouldn't speak with him about it. It was not a problem for him, because he had crossed the stage of being disturbed. But when the training was going on, then it was made sure that the facility was such that they would not be unnecessarily agitated. So that's the first six verses. More comes up. The idea being, discipline is very, very essential for forming character. Without discipline, character cannot form. And the whole idea of brahmachari stage of life is to develop character, so that the rest of life, they can live without too much problems. Then they become responsible. It's part of character traits, becoming responsible, clean, honest, etc. This is part of the character, and that's developed in the brahmacharya ashram, in the house of the guru, in a very disciplined way. That's Narada Muni's explanation. Any comments? A few minutes and any comments? Jitendra Prabhu? Or another story of. Go ahead.
In the summary of the chapter, it says in the last paragraph, he should not cut his nails or hair, and he should give up cleaning his body and teeth. But we're supposed to do that the first thing we get up.
He's talking of vanaprastha.
I know, but still, I mean, you know.
Can you speak in the mic?
Oh, it seems like it's a little...
counterintuitive.
Yeah. I mean, because you gotta, you know, to perform your service, you have to have,
right.
You know, so that kind
of. But we're not living in the forest.
I know, but still in all, I mean, you know, there's certain things you gotta do, you know.
Yeah, but here says, that is what a vanaprastha lives like.
Well, you're not gonna have any teeth left, and you know.
Yeah.
After a while. And
that's fine.
But say you take vanaprastha, but then after that you're supposed to take sannyas. But when you get
and then you smile at the population without teeth. Swamiji, what will you eat? Bananas only.
So you got to take that into consideration.
But I don't know. This is part of the austerity, so I certainly don't know why they would give up cleaning their body and teeth.
It says that in the Uddhava Gita too, in a similar format.
Yeah, the idea is brahmachari is about celibacy, one grihastha is about charity, and vanaprastha is about austerity, and sannyas is about preaching. So the austerity is to go to the other extreme from grihastha life, where the comforts of life are there, to go through... voluntary discomfort of the other nature, because the tendency is to, in the grass, the life is to, you know, give so much importance to the body and comfort of it, is to go to that extreme.
Yeah.
It's not about keeping bad health, but it's about giving up comforts.
Yeah.
Something about, my father taught me about teeth, and that whether the teeth are strong or not, a lot has to do with the digestive power. And for example, he used to tell me that if you see the Western lifestyle, the food is highly sweet. You know, it starts with sweet breakfast. There's so much sweet that in general, with all that sweet and sugar, the teeth become not so strong. They become weak. Or certain habits of coffee and cigarettes, that they have something to do with the teeth. They affect the teeth. But if the lifestyle and what they eat is in the vanaprastha stage, he's not going to eat. What is the eat here? Okay. A person vanaprastha is restricted in eating food grains and forbidden to eat fruits that have not ripened on the tree. Nor should he cook food with fire, although he is allowed to eat charu, grains that have been offered in a fire, sacrificial fire. He may also eat fruit and grain that have grown naturally. So it keeps health such that teeth don't rot.
Prabhupada said that a drunkard loses his teeth. And that happens because when he goes to bed at night, he doesn't brush his teeth, and the acids and all this,
yeah.
it remains in his mouth, and that acid rots his teeth.
Right.
So just some things that came to mind.
So this kind of lifestyle, they don't rot the teeth.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Subal Prabhu.
I was appreciating that you mention Prabhupada's genius, that just going through all this section of, you know, Varnashram, how you mentioned that just to be able to transfer that ancient culture and put it within the context of this modern culture and be able to have the results is completely a genius. And indeed, you can appreciate, you know, you take the principles of brahmacharya, although there is not the house of the, well, in fact, there temple. Is the house of the spiritual master. One of the things that we said about Prabhupada is that he built a house in which the whole world can live. So this temple is Srila Prabhupada's house, as well as, you know, Kishore Kishore's house, Prabhupada sitting there. His instructions, we're hearing from him daily. We're following his instructions. So you're living in the house of Srila Prabhupada in the ashram, and you know the principles are performed.
Right.
So you have all those principles, and that's what we have to try to get. Also, I remember hearing for Vanaprastha, the forest will become, you know, moving to the ashram or moving to the situation of just again into the position of becoming a servant of the spiritual master like that. So you cultivate, it's good for us to, you know, start to understand the principles,
right,
and to understand, you know, what Prabhupada has given us and being able to take advantage of it. Just a comment like that.
The principles are mostly discipline, obedience, sense control, and giving up the sense of proprietorship. This is what a brahmacharya is taught primarily. Giving up the sense of proprietorship, that anything belongs to me. Whatever comes belongs to Guru. That's hammered into the head like anything. And they become responsible, so that when there's no proprietorship, even in grahastha life, then they'll remain properly situated. The discipline is very, very, very critical. Yes, without sir. Discipline, no character. Ladane palane bahavo guna. Palana is discipline, and it brings great qualities or character out.
Yeah, it's such a wonderful opportunity, because you know, you learn these principles as a brahmachari, you know, just cultivating this type of education, having the opportunity to have this type of education is the only chance that you have to, you know, if you have to continue into grihastha ashram, is the only chance that you have to actually have a successful grihastha ashram. Mm. To come to the grihastha ashram with those skills and tools and type of principles, because otherwise it's just, it will become an impossible task to have a you know, progressive, spiritually progressive married life. So it's almost like a must that every young person or married person have to go through the training.
Right.
And it's just part of education. So, you know, it's part of our Krishna conscious program to make the world aware that, you know, that this is a necessary education for you to actually being able to have a happy, healthy, successful life like that.
Yesterday we were talking to Mitch, and I think you and I both were there. We were appreciating that at 21 he found himself in an ashram, and there were some who were younger than that, but 21. And I mean, I look back when I was 21, I was nowhere near an ashram. Even 25, I was not, even 30, I was not in an ashram anywhere. Until after 30 is when I met my spiritual master, and some semblance of what life is about came in. So the pathway to Krishna consciousness was even more difficult for me, it still is, than it is for someone like him. He's very young and finds himself in an ashram. What an opportunity to grow in character and form for the rest of his life. I mean, that was just because we were sitting with him. It's just, that kind of opportunity is fantastic. It's very, very specially fortunate. Very especially fortunate. Mataji.
Say transferring that concept of, you know, the discipline that the brahmachari has to undergo or be subjected to and voluntarily accept to the modern context. So there are situations where somebody has an aspiration to or understands themselves to be a brahmachari, but is actually maintaining a job and performs some service in the temple. So there seems to be a little obstacle at times to say a person in that situation being willing to subject themselves to discipline. Particularly because discipline is very much, because it's voluntarily accepted, it also requires understanding somebody being in the position of disciplining. So somebody who's in that kind of, you know, looser situation may have the aspiration to follow brahmacharya life, but the disciplining is very difficult. So if one were to think the critical factor that would be necessary to assist someone to more voluntarily submit to discipline, what could be the pivotal key for such an attempt?
So persons of that nature, they belong to the fifth ashram. There is sannyas, vanaprastha, grihastha, brahmachari, and bachelor. That's the fifth ashram. And because that fifth ashram is what's called quasi ashram, that is 1 foot in brahmachari life, single, not married, so doesn't have to carry the responsibility of another set of senses and mind and buying two tickets instead of one, you know, the whole package that comes along with it, cannot just say, oh, in about 4 hours, I'm just going to go to another city. You can't do that. Right? There's a whole set of responsibilities. So it takes the best from here, in one sense, and takes the best from the other side. The freedom, the money, the luxury, the sense of I can do with what I want with my money. 1 foot here and 1 foot here. And anything quasi is unstable. It's true in physics, it's true in chemistry, it's true in religious life. Anything quasi is unstable. So that instability causes the mind to switch between which state he wants depending upon the circumstance and convenience. And so training such is not easy. So what's done, from my understanding, is the principles of discipline are taught or spoken about, but to practice them, one has to pick 1 foot out of and place both feet somewhere. Until then, it's difficult. Because voluntary is tough for that discipline. Because as soon as it gets uncomfortable, a person can shift to, hey, I'm earning my money, I'm living on my own, don't bother me. And so that's where things get very difficult. And such persons, to become voluntarily accepting of discipline, it doesn't come. That remains a void in their training and growth. Um, Now, as full grihasthas, they can be trained that the wife takes care. That's a kidding, it's a joke. But it's that then it's the discipline is the responsibility. It brings that discipline. It's supposed to bring that discipline. So you're either disciplined by instruction or you're disciplined by responsibility. And instruction helps become disciplined by responsibility. Otherwise, we find that without this training, I can speak from my own experience. I didn't have this kind of training as a brahmachari. Becoming disciplined with responsibility was not easy. It's very tough. It takes double the effort. We're talking of double the effort. You know of Jayananda Prabhu? Prabhupada disciple Jayananda Prabhu, the super saint. So Jayananda Prabhu, he was a very simple-hearted man. And he noticed that all the devotees were finishing their rounds between Mangalarti and deity greetings. And only he could finish only half his rounds. So after a long time, he asked some devotee, "Why is it? It's taking me so long." So the devotee said, "Let's analyze. Ideally, it should take whatever, 7 minutes, something. And we see that you're chanting. Why are you taking double the time?" So he said, "I don't know." So when the devotee said, "Let's sit together and chant and see." And they noticed that Jayananda Prabhu would start from the big bead, go to the small bead, and then come back to the big bead. That was his one round. So in effect, he was chanting 32 rounds every day without knowing that's what he was doing. He just thought it took him double the time. So the devotees were like, "Wow, you're chanting double the round." And then his humble comment was, "For me, everything needs double. I have to make double the effort than all of you just to help myself." So without this training, it takes double the effort. It's very difficult. Very, very difficult. With this, properly trained, it's easy. Easier, I shouldn't say easy. Easier. Does that address your question? Gokulananda, I was waiting.
Hariwal?
Hariwal, is the stump the Prabhu question? I hope not.
No. I was thinking because, as you say, when you were reading that these many of the statements don't apply to modern context.
Principles.
Yeah, like apply, for example, Matterhead or even Brahmachari having long nails.
No, that's not Brahmachari. I
read that section in which also Brahmacharis were advised to. Yeah.
Okay. It is to scratch the
lady. Anyway, dear skin.
Yeah, dear skin. My skin is very dear to me.
Yeah. and the concept, the stories of the Mahabharata that you mentioned. So these are stalwart disciples.
Yeah.
In the scripture, and we also have the story of Quresh, for example, as a faithful disciple. But how Srila Prabhupada introduced these principles? And because he's our model.
Right.
And right now, how ISKCON is taking this. We see that the new programs of ISKCON, practically they don't do brahmachari life. They are not promoting, and they are not, like for example, if you go to the many of the bhakti shastris, they put men and women together. There are brahmachari ashram in India, and some places like Chaupati that are very nice. And I remember I think Govinda Prabhu, he was telling to the brahmachari, none of you are brahmachari, but we have created an environment in which you can practice brahmachari life. So from my understanding, what Srila Prabhupada brought it's not that you become, you are a brahmachari, but you have the opportunity to practice celibacy and some principles of the brahmachari life. Because from the very beginning, the devotees who are entering into the ashram,
right,
they haven't been brahmachari from childhood. And not trained in a brahmachari ashram. They have grown with their parents, most of them. So there is no question of brahmachari. And therefore, when we bring these principles for new devotees, it can become more like a negative thing for them, because they see these ideals, and then they will say, how can I practice this? And if they try to practice without a guidance, then they can make a mess.
Sure, if we find anyone in our ashram wearing deer skin.
Well, I'm not saying exactly that, but they can become offensive to sannyasis and senior devotees, because they will see a sannyasi with computers and other things. And when you're talking, not you yourself, but when we are talking to new devotees about brahmachari, we're bringing all these higher standards, and then they see the senior devotees that they are not doing what the devotees are telling them. The same way with Hasta Life. Mm. So I think it's very different. And so Srila Prabhupada, as far as I understand, he engaged people in brahmachari life so the preaching can go on.
Correct.
And he but most of the time, didn't address them as brahmacharis, especially in public. He said that he had students. Srila Prabhupada said, my students. He didn't say, my brahmacharis. So the idea of Srila Prabhupada ashram is a place for training, a place where the devotees study Prabhupada's books and they distribute Prabhupada's books, like that. But doesn't seem that Prabhupada brought much of the, for example, he allowed them to eat anytime, so we don't have to wait for a message, you know, where to eat. So all these principles he didn't introduce. He introduced obedience like that. But even some devotees will become rebellious sometimes and don't obey, and Prabhupada will be very accommodating to them. He won't say like, oh, a brahmachari is supposed to do this, that. He put more emphasis in becoming a Vaishnava and doing preaching activity.
So a couple of points. You were not here in the beginning of class, you came later. So how we started was that Srila Prabhupada is a super genius, that he took all these Vedic principles into a super modern context that you cannot live like, but found how to bring those principles into modern day life and created persons who can live celibate life for the rest of their lives against the current of modern flow of the lifestyle. So first, that's how we started, what Prabhupada did. Now, Prabhupada used the word student, not because he couldn't use the word brahmachari, because he was very relatable and wanting to be relevant to society. If you go out in the world and say brahmachari, brahmachari, most people might not understand. So he was very clear that he wants to be relevant to society. So he used the word student. That's my understanding. And even in the Vedic situation, it is not that there was no room for making mistakes. Like the second example of the guy who was giving everything but drinking here, drinking the milk. The guru didn't kick him out of the ashram. The guru helped him become more refined. So Prabhupada also was very clear, and he would tell, this is not how brahmacharis live, this is not sannyas. He's not, you read his letters, this is not how sannyasi is. He was very clear. But he was very accommodating, definitely very accommodating. Because that's the context we're in. Sometimes we hear, and the third point about ideals, Shastra is all about ideal. We cannot escape from talking about the ideal. When we hear Prahlad Maharaj's story, it's such an ideal. Ambarish Maharaj is such an ideal. Haridas Thakur is such an ideal. We discuss them. We discuss them because it's an appreciation for what the ideal looks like. Second, it gives us an understanding of how far we are from the ideal ourselves. It's very far. So it makes us a little sober and humble. And as far as application is concerned, yes, it needs guidance. But we cannot not talk about ideals. It is important to speak about the ideals. I understand, I'm not debating with you. For young people, or newcomers, or even for any of us, along with the ideal, there is the real. How to live the real. There's a nice paper by Hridayananda Maharaj about ideal and real. I'm sure you've read it. Okay. I won from Hridayananda Maharaj many years ago. That scripture speaks about ideal life. And most of us live what's called the real life. And there's always this gap between real and ideal. And the human endeavor is try to lessen the gap as much as we can over lifetime to between the real and the ideal. But there was always this gap. And that's how, I guess, life is. Now, as far as ideal is concerned, Prabhupada also created some of his disciples who were ideal in that sense of brahmacharya, spirit of surrender, and discipline, and giving up the sense of proprietorship. It's those qualities and principles that count. The form of it might change. I think before you came, maybe about three times I said that what we're hearing is the form and substance. And in the modern context, the substance is still important. The form will look very differently. Yeah, please. What were you going to say?
No, I was just clarifying that my comment didn't intend to say that we shouldn't discuss ideals,
yeah,
or the scripture.
That's how I understood.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that when we discuss that, maybe we can discuss how to apply them.
Sure.
Perhaps so we make clear, because
sure,
there are many.
Yeah, I didn't think of your.
But I'm not saying that you
as argument.
Yeah, it's not that.
I thought
it was
of
a comment.
It as,
yeah,
developing the discussion.
Yes,
further.
It's a comment.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.